Welcome to Spiraling, the Iced Tea Podcast after show where we spiral about things that may or may not be figure skating. I am Neto.
I am Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm exhausted, but like in a fun way.
I think that exhausted in a fun way is the perfect mood to bring to our Gallo recap episode.
Oh my god, yeah. I think exhausted in a fun way is, in general, the vibe of every single Gallo.
Precisely. Today we're going to be Gallo pals.
Boo.
Okay. Before we jump into galas, I wanted to present this. The following was something that happened around like early March, and I haven't had a chance to address it, but it is a thing that happened on Twitter, and that is the tale of Babo.
I know nothing about this. So tell me.
All right, it first appeared on March 7th from Twitter user Walla Wow, also known as Wakistan, which is a good name. And it says, you know that very specific brand of viral fake news that grandparents always fall for? And then it's a screenshot of a different, I think it's Twitter? It says forwarded many times.
Oh, isn't that like a Viber thing when you like, I think on Viber, you can like forward many times.
What is Viber?
Viber is like one of the many like messaging apps. It's like
okay.
What Slavic grandmas use to like send you like postcards, like JPEGs of postcards.
Okay, so I'm going to do a dramatic reading of this for you. It
all
starts
right.
With a pointing up emoji at a video of Russian ice dancers Stepanova and Bukin, I don't know how you say it.
Bukin.
And the text says the following. This is known as the most amazing performance in the history of skating, which brought tears to the 10,000 spectators present at the performance. Babo, the male dancer, has been blind since childhood in a house fire, and in order to protect him, his mother, holding him tightly in her arms, jumped from the 7th floor of the apartment building. Unfortunately, his mother died in the incident, but little Babo became blind due to a hemorrhage in his eyes. His mother was also an ice skater before she died, and Babo also had a soft spot for ice skating. Although he could not see anything, he still pursued the skating dance enthusiastically. In this performance, as shown in the video clip, he danced the famous tango La Kumparista with his female partner at the World Figure Skating Championships in Helsinki, Finland. Though Babo is blind, he had sharp ears, which can distinguish the surrounding sound and the distance like a bat. The female dancer, his partner, is very amazing. She danced with him and led him along for a long time. Most of the whole skate dancing process was led by her, with him following her to perform difficult movements. Nobody would have thought that he had 22 bone fractures in his body, and yet with amazing perseverance, he performed his skating dance excellently.
I desperately wish we were producing a video content of some sort. Because I went through, I think, all stages of grief during this. It's the face journey that I went on just now. First of all, this is the kind of thing that, like, grandmas on the internet would, like, completely buy. And secondly, that sounds like the plot of Cutting Edge 7. Like, this could be a movie about, like, against all odds, here is this. I like that they keep saying, what is it, his ice skating dance?
Yeah, ice skating dancing with his partner, whose name is legally his female partner. That's her name. And it kind of became a meme. Like, people would take TikToks from Bukin's TikTok and then, like, caption them, like, pictured Babo falling from a 7th floor of his apartment building inspirationally landing and with, like, echolocation, like a bat. And it's just him doing that dumb, like, falling on a bed TikTok.
Jesus. Do you think he knows about this?
I don't know.
Imagine being, like, a copypasta, like, cryptid urban legend and not even knowing about it.
I would love that for me, honestly.
That's honestly aspirational. If someone out there wants to make me a creepypasta of some sort, I'll provide TikToks that you can edit.
Yes. Well, anyway, I wanted to share that because it's inspirational.
Thank you. It blew my mind. It's insane to me that I missed that completely. And it's truly a testament to my muting people on Twitter power, I think. But that brings me to a point of I'm so excited about, I know we haven't, like, really wrapped up the season on Podcast Main, and also Junior Worlds is still happening, so it's not like quite off season yet. But that really brings me to the point of I'm so excited for off season content. I brought back our Figure Skaters as Birds post from like 2 years ago, and people seem to, or 3 years ago, and people seem to be enjoying that. And I'm just so excited for the figure skating world to rediscover shitposting.
It's true. It happens every summer. All right, I'm ready to talk about Gallus now.
All right, let's do it. I think this really perfectly ties in with the off-season content vibes as well. I don't know. I just always feel like Gallus have that, like, senior last week of school energy.
Yeah, it's very talent show. It's very, like, lead into the summer ice shows.
Yeah.
Excellent vibes. Although, you actually made a really astute point that the Olympics gala was, like, kind of sad.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We're going to talk about both the Olympics and the World Galas. And obviously, like, some of the performances were kind of the same. So we're going to mix and match. But let's start with the Olympics gala, which overall, my first comment is the production value was fucking incredible. And just the things that the production team managed to pull off with like projection and lighting design were fucking amazing. And I am really inspired by the ways that technology can be used to like make things. Projection design is my passion. And I think it's really cool. However, my one complaint about the Olympics gala is that people took it way too seriously across the board.
Yeah, I second that about the projections and everything. That opening number of the gala was low-key better than the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Like, it's just straight up was with the light-up dresses and the little, like, kids dressed like Genshin Impact. And, like, God, it was incredible.
I think it's just whatever you can do in an opening ceremony is going to look 20 times more impressive at an at a figure skating gala because they're doing it on ice. Like, it's immediately like, holy shit, he can do this and be skating.
No, it's true. And like, if you're a person who likes ice skating, which like you probably are if you're listening, you're just automatically going to enjoy an ice show more. So that was kind of my thing too.
Yeah, but it was so many people took it like so seriously. And I understand like the drive to be like, oh, this is like the Olympic gala sounds like so special. And also like, this is my one chance to like show off another one of my tricks. And I respect that, but I just wish more people would do fun numbers.
Yeah. I think starting out, like, I think the one person who really earned that was Vincent. Vincent can do whatever he wants at the gala because that was literally his one chance.
Yeah.
I like Vincent. I mean, I like Gala Vincent so much more than I like competition Vincent. And this has sort of always been the case, but especially this season, he had a different exhibition skate at Olympics and Worlds. And I liked them both a lot. I don't know why I like him so much better. Maybe if the stakes are lower, he's not as like.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think he's like, and I don't mean to make this an actual serious like competitive comparison, but do you think he's like the anti-Nathan in that he just performs better when there is no stakes?
I mean, I think so. I think that he, at the very least, drops that really, 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 like, nervous, trying so hard quality that tends to take me out of it with him. And you can kind of just see, like, that he is, like, a beautiful skater in ways that don't always come through with the programs he skates in competition. But I think he does very, very well to contemporary music. Like, I would really love to see him do more contemporary in his competitive programs. I think he just gets it and feels it.
Yeah, I think he connects with words. I think words are good for him. I know that sounds shady, but like, no, he is a poet. I don't know. I think I respect it. And he's been so like candid and open about like how hard it was for him to like have that entire experience at the Olympics. And I think that energy of like, I have nothing else to lose at this event, I'm just gonna do this and do it for myself, I think works for him. And I wish, it's kind of like the way we really enjoyed his competitive skating when he realized he was maybe going to the Olympics and it was like very triumphant. I wish he could replicate this as a vibe without having to be sad. Like, I wish he can just find a way to be like, this is what I've got and I'm just gonna do it without like having to be very depressed, because that is not good for anyone.
Yeah, I have a lot more to say about Vincent that I'm going to save for our Worlds episode, yes. Because it's more like main feed flavored. But yeah, I really like Vincent in the galas a lot more than in the competitions. I will sit down and watch like a Vincent gala exhibition start to finish. Like, that shit's entertaining. I like it.
Speaking of Vincent's, I would die for Piper and Pole, but I cannot watch anyone in the world skate to the song Vincent ever again in any context. And I don't care if you have a pretty dress that looks like the Starry Night TM. And I don't care if there's gorgeous projections. And I don't care if you're Piper and Pole, which is saying something. I just hate that song so much at this point.
I love that program from them too. And I totally agree. I had to like skip it because I was like, I can't. And it would maybe be okay if Vincent had skated to a song called Piper and Pole.
My voice is completely betraying me, so I'm not gonna risk it. But I think just going Piper, Piper, Pole instead of Starry, Starry Night in the song Vincent could be something.
But I can't.
That's all I had to say about that one.
Next up on our list of things we needed to talk about was, of course, Alyssa Liu with the last minute gala with the Olivia Smart dress and the Jean-Luc choreography and the K-pop moment. Iconic.
I think that's why I get such intense, like, last week of summer camp talent show vibes. It's because it's like, I'm gonna borrow your dress and I'm gonna have this other person help me out with the choreo and I'm gonna skate to the song I like and it's gonna be iconic and I'm just gonna pop off and get my life. I think it's the correct vibe.
I feel like at some point in the history of this show, we've probably spoken about, because we've talked about Yuri on Ice at least once, right?
Yes.
And how there's the whole like thing with the bonus episode with Yuri and Oda Beck and how he like choreographs his exhibition like the night
madness.
Before. Yes, welcome to madness. Thank you. My brain is fried. The fact that I can't remember the specifics of an anime thing is like, you can tell that's how bad my memory
the
is.
The fact that
usually...
you can't remember the glove moment in the spider lunge. I know
I
you
say...
can't. I'm just thinking about it now.
I was going to say, I didn't say I forgot those moments. I said I forgot the name of the little
Welcome
short
to the madness.
Bit. Welcome to Madness. Okay, so I feel like at some point on this show, we've probably been like, that's unrealistic. You wouldn't have your friend choreograph your thing like the night before. But like, yeah, I guess you would.
I don't know if we've made that claim because we've made theater at like 5 a.m. with each other. I completely
that's
buy
true.
That fantasy. Also, side note, I don't want Jean-Luc to retire ever in his life, but also he is a fantastic choreographer.
Yeah, and like, I don't know ITZY that well, but I assume that this is probably at least partially their choreo
like,
from that
yeah.
dance. And yeah. I think Alyssa really nailed the, I mean, I know Alyssa's like into K-pop too, but really nailed the like girl group choreo style, which is a lot of like posing and arm pictures. And
yes.
like, she yeah, that they did that really, really well.
Yeah, I was really into it. I also just always enjoy when people are like fully lip syncing while skating. It just brings me great joy.
Agree.
I, just going down this list of performances, I'm not going to say issues because she's perfect, but Wakaba is one of the people who I desperately wish would just do something else, because both of her programs and honestly, most of her competitive programs the past couple of seasons have been so iconic. And then just doing your gala to, like, a pretty and outy piece is just, like, it's pretty, but you could have done... Like, I would have even taken fucking Sia. Like, we all know Sia's deeply problematic, but, like, a Bird's Head Free at the Olympics would have fucked.
It would have. I actually am pressed to think of a Wakaba exhibition program that I've ever really liked because I'm thinking of, I feel like they've all been in that same genre of like elevator music and generic pretty skating
yeah.
that she of course does beautifully, but she can do so much more. And then also like the Showgirls one, which was like good, but I wasn't sure if it was like the best pick for her, you know, for like a whole bunch
yeah.
of reasons.
I just think she deserves like a fucking iconic gala because all of her competition programs are so, like, instantly iconic and people, like, are super into, like, the vibes of them. And I think the gala is such an opportunity to, like, do another one of those and really, really pop off. And again, like, not care about scores and not care about, like, blah, 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 and just have that moment. And I really wish that she maybe next season goes for that in a gala.
Yeah, I'm actually, now that I'm thinking about it, having a hard time really conjuring any recent last 4 years Japanese Team Japan woman gala that really knocked my socks off, except like maybe Kaori's like taiko drumming thing.
Yeah.
And even that, I'm like, that was really good, but it wasn't like, holy shit. Because I'm thinking of like what the men have done.
Yeah.
And like you have like Yuzu, and you have Shoma's galas are always lit. You have KG with his anime bullshit. You have, we'll get to a fucking Kazuki in a minute.
Oh my God. Best gala of the quad, I think.
Yeah, I need some of that like bizarro energy in the ladies team.
Yeah.
We need to get some of that in there.
Agreed. Speaking of boys who do insane things, first of all, let's talk about Shoma. And this is like starting to mix and match because he did it at Worlds as well. I hate the first half of his gala, and I really, really love the second half.
Yeah, Michael Jackson is a pretty fraught thing to do, but it's remixed enough in the second half that it's like just kind of lit.
It reminds me of, God, there's someone who does Earth Song as like an actual competition program. It's one of the boys.
I think it's a European right boy now. Or something.
Yeah, I want to say Maurizio Zandron. I want to check.
I was going to say Shmorotko, but
if I'm right, I'm going to be so proud of myself.
You're probably right.
I was fucking right. It is fucking Maurizio Zandron. I'm so good at this.
You're so smart.
I was just like trying to visualize the boy who skates. I just think just regardless of any Michael Jackson like discourse and real life backstory, I think it's just so on the nose, like that song out of context, just like the song as a piece of art, I just think is so like, here's how you should be feeling about things, and I don't like that in my art. I don't enjoy being lectured by art. But I do enjoy Shoma with, like, a giant bouquet in the back of his shirt.
Yeah. First of all, the shirt is so very, like, Stephanie Tanner at an 80s dance competition. I am so here for it. It's, like, MC of a pageant in 1991. It's everything. And I think I want to give Shoma the benefit of the doubt and say that if English was not a language you were super familiar with, it might not hit the same way as like rhyming couplets spoken by Michael Jackson hit us. but still.
Yeah, but like, also again, it's one of those things where I'm like, son, you're a multiple Olympic medalist and about to be world champion / already world champion, depending on which performance we're talking about. And you've done so many iconic things in your galas. And now we're just doing a please recycle, like go to the club and then recycle kind of situation. I'm just confused.
That's an ideal weekend. Go to the club and then recycle. So the world's version of this is fresher in my mind. And the thing I want to say about it is that it actually had some of the energy of Stefan Don't Stop the Music, in my opinion. It was that like loose, messy club energy that I loved, except in Shoma's the falling wasn't deliberate, but that's okay. We'll get there.
Yeah. Also very different vibes music wise. I'm happy that you've brought up Stefan Don't Stop the Music, because I actually think that the person who was at the same club as Don't Stop the Music Stefan was Kazuki, as like a businessman who's oversleeping and has to go sleep something. I think they were at the same club the night before.
Yeah, and then they recycled after. Speaking also of Stefan, really upset that Denis Vasiliev's was nowhere to be found.
Fucking no.
I've been on a real wood kid bender recently, and every time I hear iron, I think about giving Denis Vasiliev a knife.
Think he deserves it.
He does, and I don't know. I just missed him.
Can I tell you something that I haven't tweeted about yet? I am putting a down payment on getting a sword forged for me.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because my historical sword fighting class, they're putting in an order for swords. And the instructor was like, it takes like 5 to 6 months because it's like a bulk order of swords. And I was like, I'd rather do it now than like have to wait essentially a year if I do it in the next cycle. So I'm investing. I'm buying a sword. It's not, mind you, it's not a sword that can kill because it's for sports. But it's very much a real sword that's going to be forged through me.
That's so cool. I don't even know what to say. That's like the coolest thing anyone's ever said.
I know. I'm kind of mind blown about it. And honestly, it's pretty expensive, but it's like it's in installments. And it's going to hopefully be done around my birthday, which would be really fucking cool. Like it should be done around like September or October. And that happened today, is I made the decision that I'm an adult who's going to spend their money on getting a sword forged.
I support giving Netta a sword.
Yeah, I heard about Dennis and his knives and I had to brag that I'm getting a very big knife in about half a year now.
Good. It's what you deserve.
Thank you. I think we should give everyone a sword and just see what happens.
That's probably true, I would say.
Swiftly moving on to something completely different. I need you to talk to me about the arms of an angel.
The funny thing about this to me is that it feels like Bo-young has been doing this fucking arms of an angel exhibition for like a decade 12
years.
At this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Like every time it's like, it was like he went straight from Spider-Man to this bullshit. And then it was like, no, this is what the people want. Right. I don't know what to say. I love Westlife. I've been on a big 90s boy band bender recently in addition to Boyd Kid. I don't know what the connection there is. It's just
boys.
Like those of yeah boys
it's my, boys my,
it's boys and so I appreciate that aspect of it, but I don't know, maybe the Sad Hungry Kittens commercial doesn't run in China.
I just think I don't know, it's such a universal, I feel like it's a very universal experience to hear that song and think of like starving children or dying kittens or something terrible.
I feel like I'm just not well
versed. Has no one told him?
I'm sure maybe no one has. Like that's the thing, is that I feel like I'm not well versed enough in the degree to which China is like its own closed circuit for media and internet and memes and stuff, that like I don't actually know. Like, I don't know how much that would have bled over.
He has skated it at, like, international, like, events and shows, though.
Well, okay, but if you only see, if I'm Bo-young and you only see me, like, three times a year tops, are you gonna then, in what limited language we share, like, use Google Translate to be, like, you're skating to an infomercial about abused
dogs? Yes! Absolutely, I would.
Well, you're a better friend than me, then.
I'd be like, buddy, have you seen this ad about kittens? And do you know that for just $5 a month? My other thing that just occurred to me is, you know how in galas they still do the replays?
Yeah.
I desperately want someone to take just the replays of that gala and just make it black and white.
It's very in memoriam.
It does, kind of, but I don't know. If I were him and I was like, if I were one of the many skaters who has to, like, fundraise for their career, I would do that. It'd just be like, for just $10 a month, you can support a figure skater.
One thing I want to say about the Olympics and Bo-young Jin is, remember at the Pyeongchang Olympics?
Barely.
When they're, yeah, I mean, same. But we've seen the content in the time since. And I'm upset that at the 2018 Olympics, the powers that be thought that it would be, you know, correctly thought that it would be a good idea to do a little featurette where Misha Ji puts makeup on Bo-young Jin.
Yes.
And why didn't it happen again? Why didn't it happen again? He was there. It was in his home country.
Because people were taking the gala too seriously.
I don't even know if it was part of the gala. It was just like part of the Olympics experience. Why wasn't Misha Ji putting makeup on Bo-young Jin? Like, that's what the Olympics is. They've been doing it since the first Olympics. They've been doing it since the first Olympics in Athens.
Greece. Yes.
Yeah, it was like we're throwing discuses and we're wrestling nude and then we're doing a thing where Misha Ji puts makeup on Bo-young Jin. Like, it's just part of it.
Yes. Actually, this brings me perfectly into the two programs that I think the only people who fucking understood the fucking assignment are Olivia and Adrian with their maniac disco fantasy gala skate, which is the only one that, that scratched like the actual gala itch for me. And I'm making the distinction that this is at the Olympics, because I do want to say that they did it again at Worlds. And Worlds also featured the other program that fucking understands the same assignment, which is Matteo Gorris and Nicole Della Monica doing their Rocky program, which is the same. I just think people should be semi-nude and doing full camp.
Yeah, you know, you want it to have a little bit of a dinner flavor, a dinner theater flavor.
Yes. I want people to be like entering from the audience and like having to like fight with a plant in the audience. And I just think that's what galas should be.
I agree. And I feel seen as somebody who recently started using an inhaler. I'm going to start telling people that I just started doing that so I could be like Adrian Diaz. I'm just going to full on lie about it.
Here's the thing, though. You have to wear like 80s workout gear for people to believe you, just like at all times.
Not a problem. It's kind of what I already do.
Yeah, I was like halfway through saying that and I was like, she's not gonna have a problem with that. Yeah. Real quick, where we're dipping into categories that we don't usually talk about, the lights of my life, the reasons why I'm a raging bisexual, Maddie and Evan. Beautiful, that fucking program they do where they're dressed in white. Which I think Friend of the Pod Jordan filmed, like, in the pandemic and was very moving, is gorgeous. I miss these boots are made for walking. And I do think that they are guilty of taking the gala too seriously this time around.
Yeah, it is pretty hard to ever come back from the woman fully stepping on the man in an ice skate. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to recover from that. You can't do anything else after that once you've shown that you have that
full like, bondage
in your back pocket. Yeah.
Next time needs to be like a full like scene, or, you know, but just like something fun.
But funny and campy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want like 50 Shades of Grey, like Uber trying to make it sexy. Like, I want it fun.
Well, here's the thing, though. If someone has to be skating a 50 Shades of Grey gala, which we have seen in the past, I would rather it be consenting adults who we know are dating than anyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm not saying they should, because like that's tacky and like there is better things they could be doing. But like, if anyone has to, it better be one of the many couples that are actually couples.
Yeah, for real.
Like full adults. Correct. So anyway,
speaking
of full adults, here's a husband man who has a child and a wife.
It's the fact that Keegan and Nam have both skated in this exact fucking outfit at a gala. Like, it's just the Canadian uniform.
I think it's very generous of you to call a red flannel an outfit.
Well, listen, this is how I survive my own life and my own fashion. So, like...
No, like, I'm gay and I get it. Like, half of my... I'm wearing flannel right now as we record. I just don't think it's an outfit.
That's fair. It's a collection of pieces.
It's just clothes.
It's a juxtaposition of clothing. It was the most Canadian fucking thing on earth that he could have done to skate to Alan Doyle. My god, I was like, is this the Great Big Sea Guy? And I looked it up and it is. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I was like, so we're checking all the boxes. We're checking like folk music, vaguely country, vaguely Irish, vaguely like Newfoundland, very like waving a beer stein around.
That program made me wish I were making friends with someone at a pool table in a dive bar, but like not a hipster dive bar, just like a bar that has not been renovated in the past 30 years.
Yeah, and it's like 2012.
Yeah, and you're like wearing like your tightest jeans and a flannel and you're like, this is my best outfit.
Yeah.
I miss like just going to a bar. And he did it again at Worlds, and both times it was delightful because he knows how to work a crowd.
My favorite part is the beginning when he gets into place and then he smiles and it looks like he's posing for a Sears catalog.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's like doing two gigs at the same time. I'd respect that from him.
I'm sorry, but I would laugh so fucking hard if everybody else is out here with their like, with their sponsorships from like Puma and Skims and Nike, and then Keegan's like official brand rep of Sears.
Fucking like the Gap.
Not even the Gap. It has to be like Boscov's or something. Like something like JCPenney.
Just like the clothes you buy at Target.
Yeah.
It's like a very nice button up from Target.
Bass Pro Shop.
Oh god, I love this man so much. Also, we're like making jokes and doing bits, but the actual like footwork in this program is fucking insane. He's just like showing off the entire time. It's, it is what a gala should be. It's campy and it's fun and it gets the crowd going. And also you're doing some incredibly impossible hard things.
Yeah, like I haven't seen Come From Away, but I feel like this is what it is. I feel like it's like Keegan just did a one-man production of that.
I have not seen Come From Away either, but like from what I do know about it, I think you're right. Also, just real quick before we get into it, I do want to say that Gloria and Delmonico actually did do their Rocky at the Olympics. And I forgot because I watched both galas today. I just love that Rocky program so much. Anyway, speaking of people being incredible on ice, this is the first time we're saying it on mic. World champion Kari Sakamoto.
What?
Which just sounds so good.
It does have a good mouthfeel.
I'm gonna pull the curtain back a little bit for the audience. We wrote notes about this so we can like help ourselves not get too sidetracked. This is us not getting sidetracked. My only note about Kari doing her tango and that like very low cut back dress, and just like committing to a tango, my notes just say, truly the only woman.
Yeah, and then I wrote, run me over with a Zamboni, tango cowrie.
I did also say drops emoji, and I wasn't using a phone or anything that had emoji at the time, but like, from the bottom of my heart and respectfully, drops emoji, you know?
I know.
Yeah, it's just so good. And then she did a different gala at Worlds, which was also incredible. But I just think the tango is such a fucking vibe for her. Like, I would see her compete this.
I was thinking that too, actually. Like, I wonder if this is something we're going to see from her, like, in the coming years. Because most single skaters do some sort of vaguely Spanish-y tango or clapping and slapping or something at some point. And I can't remember Kauri doing that recently, so.
I would be fucking delighted if we got Kauri competitively clapping and slapping in the next quad. It would make me just so happy. Please, Benoit, if you're out there and you're listening, let the woman clap and slap.
I was going to say, though, like, that is maybe a little too bland for Benoit, so I wonder what, like, funky spin he would put on it.
It would just be, like, clapping and slapping, but, like, it's futuristic. We're once again just spinning the Benoit wheel.
At all times, I am spinning the Benoit wheel.
On all levels except physical, currently spinning the Benoit wheel.
Oh, I wanted to say I was upset that Wang and Liu didn't do the fucking Modao Zushi exhibition. And
yeah,
I sort
that
of
felt like
why?
A robbery.
But I also sort of don't get why. Because, sure, okay, so this is, in case you don't know, they used to do a gala skate based on the show The Untamed, which is based on a book called Modao Zushi, which is a Chinese, like, gay
book.
Novel. It's
sure.
Erotica. Yeah,
book.
It's just erotica.
It was digitally published online erotica, which became a book.
Yeah, so I own the physical book now. It's really nice, like, nicely
wow.
published now. Yeah, I'm an adult, so I own it. I want it. I got it. But they used to do a program where they were dressed as the two male love interests. Just like, it was really beautiful and I loved it. And I don't know. I feel like it was very censored in China because of the gayness.
Yeah.
But there was nothing explicitly gay about their skating. Like, one of them is a woman.
If anything, they're like the opposite of queering it.
Yeah, they're unqueering it. They're like, I'm a
they're
very
like
small woman and I'm a
it.
Very tall man.
They're
yeah, like
streetifying Modao Zushi.
Yeah, so I was sad because I was like, hey, it's like vaguely Chinese culture. They should do it at home. But you know what? We can't have everything.
Yeah, and also I guess it's one of the things where like for people in the know, it might have been too like unserious for this particular gala.
I don't know what you're talking about. I cried like 17 times during that book.
Well, yeah, no, it's a very like romantic, beautiful book. It is also about necromancy and fucking.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be both.
I'm now thinking about someone doing a Gideon the Ninth program, which is a very niche statement. And if like two of our listeners get me, I would be so happy. Just like full skull paint.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
we need to
God.
See it.
That would be very hot. Anyway, let's talk about Yuzu Hanyu.
Yuzu skates so beautifully that watching him, I'm like, oh yeah, actually, this is a horrible analogy, but the thing that came to my mind when I was watching him is I was like, this is like Voltron. Like, it's actually really good, but like the fans made me hate it.
That is so many things. I don't know why you pulled like Voltron as your fandom of choice. But I think that's my experience with so many things. And I'm devastated that Yuzu has low-key a little bit in recent months become one of those things. Because at this
I don't hate Yuzu. I want to be really clear.
Oh, yeah. No. Again, he is the greatest of all time for a fucking reason. And the reason is that he is.
Right, yeah.
Period. But at this point, like, anytime I see, like, anything about him on my timeline, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Because 20% of the time it is normal people being like, hey, he is the greatest of all time. Look at him doing a triple axel for 4 minutes straight. And then sometimes it's people who are like, you know, the people, I'm not gonna parody the people again. And you never know. You never know until, like, you look at their, like, handle and it's like Winnie the Pooh's butthole 27. And you're like, oh, okay. Anyway, I don't mean to rant about it again.
No, it's true. And I feel bad because I'm like, I didn't mean to even, like, bring it into the conversation because the gala was one of, like, the few times that I was like, yeah, it's just him skating beautifully as a jellyfish man.
I adore that costume so much. And it's, like, already become, like, such a staple that, like, we see more of that, like, sleeve situation in other people. And I think that's very cool. Like the ripples of his influence, I think, are very interesting. And I do think that it's fun and cool that more people are inspired to be jellyfish because of him.
Uh-huh. 100%. I think that it's beautiful.
Yes. I'm going to skip things around a little bit because this feels more connected. Speaking of sweet little prince men, sweet child Yuma Kageyama, really carrying on the being a little prince on ice legacy, hope and legacy, if you will, in his, like, mermaid fantasy, like, seafoam blouse and the blue pants. But much like Wakaba, it was just a pretty program. I felt nothing. I mean, I felt like, oh wow, this child is very good at skating, but I don't remember what the music was.
Yeah, I miss his old gala exhibition that he used to do where he wore that, like, shiny shirt and just kind of wiggled around for 3 minutes and you felt like you were, like, insane.
Yep, I enjoy feeling like I'm just ever so slightly on drugs when I'm watching a gala. I want to be questioning things a little bit. Yeah, I enjoy to like things. Speaking of things I enjoy to like, Luna Hendrix. And I'm not going to get into the greatness of Luna Hendrix because we're saving that for Maine. I'm just going to say that at both the Olympics and Worlds, she showed up in just, like, a little black and red number, lip syncing to Circus by Britney. And I've never respected another human being more. I just think it's such a power move to do, like, a song that drag queens do when they really have to make rent at the Olympics. Like, I respect it so hard.
Yeah, it really gives one the feeling that we haven't even seen, like, the half of what Luna can do at this point.
Yeah. It's also fun because this is such a weird, like, deep cut comment. But because of the way her hair is dyed, like, the, like, little balayage she has going on, you can't really tell she's a blonde when she's, like, competitive skating because she always has, like, a tight bun and it looks more like she's, like, a light brunette. But when she skates to Britney and she has, like, her hair down, she's just fully, like, that blonde girl at the club popping off. And it is possibly my favorite vibe. One of my favorite vibes across both exhibition, galas, I think.
Yeah, I really liked her hair like that, too. I noticed her hair, too. It was very shiny. And I was like, maybe she should wear her hair like this in competition. It was so, like, just different.
I always wonder when people only skate with their hair down at, like, exhibitions. I wonder if it, like, gets in their way when they're, like, wanting to do their elements good or something. Because I know some people compete with their hair down. I wonder if it's about, like, what you're used to as well.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. What else? Real quick. First of all, let me preface this before one of our Patreon friends doxes me. I really love Papadakis and Ziskon. I do. I've seen them skate live in France and it was transformative as an experience. I'm wishing they would do something that's not like contemporary, lyrical, whatever the fuck they've been into the past couple of years at some point. It's like very like lyrical recital. And it's a very good lyrical recital, But I wish that at least Dear Gala would give me a little bit of something else.
Yeah, that said, I'm still glad that we don't have to see the Ed Sheeran thing every single time anymore. That God, was like also a yeah, moment in time.
What? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The one thing I will say is that Guillaume looks like a slutty pirate in that like very shiny, like snowy white satin prince blouse. And I think that's a very good vibe for him. And I respect it a lot. That's all I have to say about that.
Speaking of respecting a lot, I respect Nathan Chen a lot. He won the gold medal and then he did Caravan.
I think that, well, because Nathan still didn't know that he wasn't doing worlds when he was at the Olympics, but technically him skating to Caravan at the Olympics gala was the last thing he did this season for an audience. And I think that's such a perfect button to his journey. And it's just such a good program. It just like makes me so very happy and the vibes are so good, and I think it's just good to see him like popping off in different styles, and I just think it's like the perfect little tweak to the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, Caravan's always my favorite Nathan. Yes. And I think it was fun to see it come back, because at the time that he was competing it was very like kind of awkward older teen kind of dude like doing crazy dancing, and it was that charming vibe that you get from like Ilya Melanin or like Adam Siamfa, where it's like, yeah, oh, this dorky kid can dance. And now it's like he's like a cool adult gold medal winner, and so it had this totally different vibe, so that was, yeah, really fun too.
Yes, I agree. I'm very curious about like, and I know we're not even in off season yet, but I'm very curious about like what he has like brewing in his mind for next season. Because we know he had, like, some trial and error with, like, what clicks for him recently. So I wonder. I'm very curious where we go next.
I do have to say also one of my other favorite programs ever, it might be my favorite exhibition ever,
wow,
is Sway and Hans, Leona Lewis. I think it's called Run.
Yeah,
that
is.
Program is so, it's the perfect balance of emotional and horny, because there's a lot of them like just grinding in it, but then also, you know, he's like carrying her and it's like, oh, he's like supporting her. I don't know. I cry every time. And when they brought it back, I screamed. I screamed like fucking, I did the Jean Parmesan scream. Like,
yeah, I have nothing to add. I do think it's horny and emotional. I don't like that song very much, but they like sell me on it, which is a testament to like their entire performance.
I like it, but I didn't know it until they started skating to it, because I never lived in the UK. And so I can see why if you lived in the UK, it would have been you'd be over it.
That song was on the radio when I was in college. It's like one of those things.
Yeah, I never made it over here. So I just know it from them. So yeah. I like it.
Leona Lewis is very, very good. She's a very, very good singer. I just like connected to like being at the library in undergrad.
Traumatic.
Yeah, not the best. Speaking of trauma, I have never in my life enjoyed watching a closing number at a gala. And I know they're always choreographed in like a half an hour. And I know it's just like everyone doing a little thing for the audience and like swizzling around. And I struggle with this, Megan. I struggle a lot because in the theater, one of my favorite things is like a good like curtain call or like a good like choreographed applause and bow situation. It's one of my favorite things. And when I teach theater, I talk to the kids about like how that's like your moment to break character and like commune with the audience and be like, hey, thank you for like being here, blah, 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 blah. I'm very, very passionate about this moment of like taking your flowers from the audience. And I hate galas like closing numbers. And I need you to talk to me about why that might be, because I'm confused.
For me, like knee jerk, I like it. I like curtain calls because they're always like, we all just kind of know how long they last.
Yeah.
Which is like not that long. And a gala closing number is one of those things that it gives me the same anxiety that I get at the end of a party, where it's like, I have no fucking idea when it's appropriate to leave. I want to leave when it's over, but no one else has left yet. And like, when can I start leaving? How many people have to leave before me before I can leave? Like, it just upsets me in like a ADD kind of way.
I always like want to stay until the very, very end. But also there's, and I don't like using that word, but there's something like so cringy about it as well. I don't know. I struggle with it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I skipped past it. And I luckily scrubbed to the exact moment where Wen Jing just completely rolls.
Bodies, Bing Duan Duan.
Bodies, Bing Duan Duan, rolls him off the ice. That's all I needed to see.
I was so happy when that made it a normie Twitter as well. Because I want people who don't know anything about our sport to just know it's about Bing Duan Duan getting bodied while trying to ice skate.
That's all that happened at the Olympics. And if anybody tries to tell you anything else happened, they're lying.
Yeah. I don't mean to like gaslight people, but like if you remember one thing from the Olympics, let it be this.
And on that note, shall we move on to Worlds?
Yes. Yes. Worlds was so good.
So French.
It was so aggressively French. Like the thing is, I feel like if someone who's not French did all of the numbers, like the collective group numbers, because there were several of them. I think if someone who's not French did any of them, it'd be offensive. Because it was full, like, striped shirts and, like, little berets. And, like, the whole thing was, like, so, like, French caricature. But I found it very entertaining that they were, like, so into it.
It was very like, what if we took the kiss and cry from World Team Trophy Team France and made it into multiple skating programs?
Yeah, that was basically the vibe. Also, why were people in hockey skates?
Well, so I think my impression was that those were like some cool guys who are like B-boys on ice. And maybe they just like skate in hockey skates. I don't know. They were really hot, first of all.
They were very hot.
They were extremely hot. But I was really, I was kind of like, that would have been cool in a context where we hadn't already seen fucking Adam Xiaofa already do that exact song with better, more interesting choreography. So I'm like, don't tell me that this is what I deserve to see. I deserve to see the body rolls.
Everyone do more body rolls.
Like, my man Adam found a way to do body rolls and fucking leave a light on. Like, he just started out with it. It was like, I know this doesn't go, so we're doing it at the top, and we're just gonna get it over with.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it.
He's one of those kids who are, like, people who just has one trick, and the trick needs to happen.
And I respect that it's not a backflip, and it's not, like, a, you know, a Russian split or a cantilever. It's just a body roll, because you know what? Those are hard.
Yeah, I just tried to do one, and I know I said earlier that I wish this was a video podcast. The people don't need to see me trying to do a body roll. I know one deserves that.
Yeah, I can't. I truly can't. And I've tried. I did the, like, Steezy tutorial. It's not in me.
I wonder, I know Daft Punk doesn't, like, exist as a collective anymore. I was like, is Daft Punk a band? Like, is a band the word that you use? But
I think
the people in Daft Punk know what a fucking season they've had?
I don't know. I hope so, man. Like, if they're not busy making music anymore, making funky French blips, I don't know what else they could possibly be doing. They should be watching the fucking Olympics.
Right? Like, there's been so much Daft Punk, and so much of it has been very, very good. I want someone to have shown it to them in the style of, like, you know, when musicians find out that people are doing their music and they're either, like, suing about it or being very cool about it.
Yeah, it's kind of the two genders.
Yeah.
Suing or being excited.
Yeah. Real quick, before we, like, go into, like, several shout-outs about people we haven't talked about yet, I did want to say, likewise, like, the Olympics, the lighting and projection design was incredible. It's just so impressive to me. And also, it was Lila and Louis who opened the gala. They didn't have projection, they just had very sexy lights. And that was the moment where I was like, oh, someone, like, fucking, like, showed up with their projection and lighting design and, like, really worked on this. It was, like, purple and gold, and it was really pretty. It's just very impressive to me that people can, like, tech, like, a 2.5-hour show with basically a day and a half notice and make it look so gorgeous.
I mean, you lighting designed my entire thesis solo in, like, an hour.
Well, yeah, but I'm an insane person.
I also didn't have projections. Oh, wait, yes, yeah. I did. I had one. But yeah, it wasn't ice show worthy.
I was actually thinking about my thesis solo watching this, because my solo was, as you remember, very projection heavy.
I had to hit the button that made the flower happen.
Yeah, I was thinking about the flower because it was a projection on the ground. And I was watching the Olympics and I was thinking, and Worlds, the galas with so much projection on ice. And I was thinking about how my like time lapse of an apple blossom would have looked so gorgeous. And I was like, I'm a visionary.
You're ahead of your time.
Yeah, truly. Someone let me do my solo on ice.
Hell yeah.
Let me tell you what the World's Gala had that the Olympics slightly lacked. Was more of the girls taking us to the fucking club.
Mm-hmm.
The ladies, and like Luna did Britney again. It was amazing again. It just was so cool. But we also had, we had Selena Gomez, we had Ariana Grande. It was just like fully like Friday night at the gay bar. And I respect that so much.
And then, of course, Mariah.
And Mariah doing her Lady Gaga Little Mix. Not the band Little Mix, her little Lady Gaga mix.
I love that
dress on Mariah so much.
Did you like my Little Mix Vine reference? Because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I always like a Little Mix Vine reference. yeah, again, peeking behind the curtain, my notes just say in all caps, hand in marriage, Mariah Bell. The girls are really girling at this event. Because the girls were girling.
Yeah, it made me want to like go to the bathroom at the club all together and put our lipstick on and then take pictures together.
Yes. But like, it's the vibe of like that, and then you hear a song you really like come on and you just like fucking bolt out.
Yeah, like you scream and then you're like, ah!
Yeah, yeah, yep, that is it. Oh, so the Ariana Grande reference was in reference to Anastasia Gubanova, who did Dangerous Woman. And I always like seeing a woman pop off to Dangerous Woman. Just, it's such a, I don't want to like overuse the word, but it's such a like empowering little bop. Like when girls are like, yeah, I am like feeling sexy and dangerous. I think that's good for people. I think cool people should experience that.
Yeah, and skating is dangerous.
Yes. What else?
Kazuki Tomono.
Kazuki fucking Tomono. If you haven't seen his gala from Worlds, what are you doing?
I think he's been doing it all year, but I think this is the first time I've like really sat down and watched it.
I just think his energy for it was also just like so impeccable. I could watch this child skate around with a clearly empty suitcase for the rest of my life.
I was very worried he was going to let go of it while he was spinning with it. I'm like, someone's going to die tonight.
Just like full projectiles into the audience.
Just like full like discus.
That could kill a person.
Yeah.
I just think it's so charming. I think the storytelling is so good. I think the story of it being, I'm just a little man who has to go to work. Oh no, I'm going to work now, is just so profoundly charming.
Yeah, like all scathing indictments of capitalism should be this adorable.
I enjoy when people are like, hey, 9-to-5 culture is bad for you and fuck corporations. I'm gonna skate about it.
I liked all of his silly poses. Like, oh, my back hurts. Oh no, I'm tripping. It was very like, honey, you've got a big storm coming.
Yeah, I think this is the evolution of like pretending not to be able to skate good, but like skating good about it. I think being a little businessman is the next step in that.
Between the like, I'm sleepy and can't skate good, and like Adam Diaz and I can't breathe when I exercise, I felt very seen.
Just like deeply represented in this gala. Yeah.
I liked the lyric where it's like, I'm gonna make sure everybody eats. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, he did. He did make sure everybody ate.
Yeah, we ate. We for sure ate.
And so did he.
Alyssa skated the ITZY program again. I missed Olivia's dress.
I did too. I didn't like that one, as the Alyssa one as much. But
yeah, I think it was like trying to, I think the vibe was like, my friend Olivia let me wear this dress, but then she wanted it back. So I went to Express and tried to find a different dress that looks like it.
Speaking of red dresses, I really liked that Kaori's Worlds program was like the first entire like third of it was just sitting down on the ice. I respect that. If you just fucking won bronze at the Olympics and then gold at Worlds, sit down.
Like, sit down, take a load
off. Take a load off, Kaori. Like, just, yeah, relax.
Speaking of just like absolute fucking camp, imagine if someone skated to like Margaritaville and just like sat down, just like cracked open a beer and just like vibed.
I know that this isn't really, I know that I'm Bernstein Mandela affecting this, but I feel like I have a memory of Mikhail Brzezina doing that.
I knew you were going to say Mick Brzezina because he has skated like looking like a Trader Joe's employee. Just doing that vibe. However, I do think he should, now that he's a retired man, just like show up to a nice show and sit down and just have a cold one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should do more like durational performance art on ice happenings where it's just the artist is present, the artist is having a beer.
But do you remember a few years ago when it was wicked trendy in galas to have everyone use the same ugly folding chair? Like everyone had a chair prop. Like,
yep.
I haven't seen a chair in a couple of years and I'm really pleased about that. So I don't want to like tempt fate and bring the chair back.
Yeah, no, I could do without chair. What else happened at Worlds? The French are so very French.
They're just so French. It reminded me of the SNL sketch of the teenagers that are like dancing to Camille. Like, just like, it was very just bopping around like with this like kind of, I don't know, meh, blasé face.
Yeah. I wonder how the French are okay with the French stereotype that much, but I enjoy it because I think it's fun. The synchro kids were very cute as well.
Yeah, and Saria Bonali, it was really cool to see her skate too.
Oh my god, yeah, she's just a fucking rock star. I just like being in your mid to late 40s and showing up in a tutu and being like, you're welcome, is like such a fucking vibe.
Aspirational.
Yeah, honestly, like that's who I want to be in like 20 years.
Do you think the reason that Lulu the Otter didn't skate was because Wenjing wasn't there to kill it?
To fucking body them?
Like, a mascot can't be allowed to skate unless we have a failsafe of, like, a really petite Chinese pair skater to pull the trigger if it gets out of hand.
I've been meaning to talk to you about this since Worlds happened. You've been very aggressive about Lulu, and I'm not sure why.
I don't have anything against Lulu, actually. I really like Lulu. I think I made a joke about...
You made a joke about, like, fully killing Lulu, and I was like, is this the end of the podcast?
No, it wasn't because... the reason I chose Lulu as my, like, hypothetical hostage in that situation is because they are so lovable, and I needed somebody to pay attention, because whatever grievance I had at the time was very important.
I almost became the kind of person who, like, posts on the internet, like, please, someone I don't know, buy me a Lulu. We can talk about the money. I'm in love with Lulu. I think they're one of the best mascots we've had. I'm also not sure about their gender, and I think Lulu is the they-them of the day. Happy Trans Day of Visibility, y'all. This is when we're recording. Trans people are very cool. Lulu is one of us. I've decided.
Yeah, happy Trans Day Otter Visibility.
I love Otter Visibility. No, that's a different thing. That's for a different part of the LGBTQ community.
That's true. You can be both, but not necessarily.
Yeah, you know, some people can be trans and an otter. Lulu is one of them. Oh god, how did we end up here? Let me talk to you about Young Yu, who is 17 years old and skated to a song called When We Were Young.
Wait, but I feel like we're missing the point that it's actually really funny that her name is Young and she skated to When You Were Young.
When You Were Young, and it's just about her being herself.
Wait, no, it's When We Were Young. When You Were Young, yeah, at The Killers.
Yes,
that would have,
yes,
been better. That would have been better. But it's not as...
I would love to see her skate to The Killers.
I'd kind of love to see her skate to anything. I thought her dress was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it looked like I know I just put this together because she and Alyssa are friends, but it looked like it would look good next to Alyssa's red and teal dress. And then to get, like, if they ever wanted to do, like, a duet. They should do it in their Squid Game costumes and then take them off, and underneath is the pretty dresses.
The only reveal I'll allow on the ice is if you reveal Squid Game costume into a pretty dress.
Well, Squid Game spoilers, like, the sort of, like, end of that show was very, like, rich, bougie aesthetic, so...
Well, there you go. Also, she's one of the people who skates galas with her hair down, and I very much enjoy that for her.
I just love her. I just want to see her skate for a bajillion years.
Yeah, same. She's been bringing it, and I'll save this for main, because I have a lot of things to say, but yes.
What are your final thoughts on the gala?
My final thoughts on the galas, both of them, is that I love camp and I enjoy watching people have fun, and it's okay to be pretty, but it's more fun to be a fucking clown. Overall, I do think both of the galas were very good. I don't know why I'm so bitter about, like, the amount of comedy I was given. But I did enjoy both galas. I sometimes have like a huge mental block about watching galas for some reason.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed both of those a lot.
Yeah, same. I think my final thought, just to bring it full circle, because I forgot to say this before, that I really liked Vincent's World's Gala. He's wearing like a weird like mariachi Big Bird costume that I know you hate. I liked it.
No, I didn't hate it. I was just very confused about it. He looks like he wants to be joining my list of people who should be skating to Orville Peck. And I just didn't expect it from him. And it also has a tail.
I really liked it.
I don't know how I feel about the tail aspect of it, but I do enjoy it. It's so much campier than the shit he usually wears. And I encourage it. I think if you want to go out there in like fire colored tassels, by all fucking means, go for it.
Yeah, I think that there is an aspect of Vincent skating that is so cheeseball that like leaning into the camp aesthetic is actually like really nice for him.
Yeah.
And kind of liberating. And I liked the costume. I thought it was going to be a phoenix thing because he like was like, right.
Yeah, it looks
seems
like
very on the nose. Yeah. He looks like a phoenix. He's doing his wing flaps and shit. And then Robin Williams started talking about women. And it had this very like, I'm heartbroken, someone has hurt me sort of feel to it. I'm like, who hurt Vincent? I would be really upset if I dated someone and then we broke up and then he did like a skating routine to Robin Williams about it in front of the entire world. But you know,
I think that's a power move, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, just processing
Taylor your Swift
shit.
Does it. I yeah. mean, we're all on board, right? So, and yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, wow.
You and Vincent also both skated beautifully like a day after recovering from COVID, so maybe you guys are the same.
How dare you? We're going to call it here. If you're here and you're listening, thank you so very much. Much like Adam Xiao Hemfa at the World's Gala, you are helping us keep the lights on at this metaphorical studio. The season is coming to a close very soon. We're still going to be doing Worlds coverage on Maine. We're going to have a lot to fucking scream about. And it's almost summertime, which means just more fun shit out here. Thank you so much for supporting us. There's so many of you and it makes my heart ever so slightly bigger. I don't know, a Grinch reference in March. Thank you, and we'll see you so very soon, both here and on the main feed. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Thank you, guys. We love you. Everything Netta said, plus also happy Aries season.
Happy Aries season, everyone. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.